Welcome to episode number 17 of the Mitch and Nils Bull Show. My name is Mitch, the man to my right in the studio, in the lab, Jay Nils. Welcome back to the basement, man.
Got to Nils the people. Nils the people what they want.
All right, well, welcome to the Bull Show. Your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective. We're not experts. We're not insiders. We're not journalists. But we are two guys that love the Chicago Basketball Bulls.
Of course, that intro was a shout out to the second all-time leading scorer in Bulls history, Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose is a very underrated basketball player, by the way.
I don't think so. I loved him since his Fab Five days.
Yeah, man. Well, tell the people where they can find us.
Well, listeners, fans, followers, follow us on Twitter at The Bull Show. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And find us on not one, but two websites. That's ShyCitySports.com as well as BullsPodcasters.com.
All right, that sounds good. On today's episode, tonight's episode, we are going to be talking to ESPN beat reporter Nick Friedel. He's a great Bulls insider.
So you may have heard of him.
Yeah, you may have heard of him. So we'll try to get some inside information, the scoop on what's going on with all things Bulls. And stick around after the interview.
We got a couple things to promote.
Yeah, we got a couple cool things.
Should we tease them a little bit right now?
All right, let's do it.
Well, first, we got a preseason ticket giveaway. Been kind of plugging it on Twitter. Basically, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the upcoming preseason game on October 16th against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Now, before we get started, I'm not going to lie, man. I'm not like you, man. I'm not a big-time baller.
I'm not saying I am either.
I don't get to go to every game. And you got these extra tickets, and you're going to give away to strangers. You could ask me.
I'm not giving them away to strangers. I'm giving them away to our followers, our listeners.
I guess, man. But
maybe fans.
You could have asked me.
This is called promotion. This is called marketing.
You could have asked me. I want to go to the game.
Look, an interview with Nick Friedel can only take us so far. So we got to, like I said, know the people what they want.
All right, man. Well,
stay tuned. I might drop a little hint or two on how you can win those tickets.
All right. We're also going to be doing a fantasy basketball league, Mitch and Neil's first league ever. I'll give the details after the interview, but just go ahead and shoot us an email if you want into the league. We'll take, the first 12 teams. Yeah? Are you going to get it? Are you not a fan of fantasy basketball?
I am terrible at fantasy basketball.
You know you're
going to. I don't know if I'm going to participate, to be honest.
No, you're going to be in the league.
Just so that people can own me and tell me that I don't know anything about basketball.
Yes, yes. It's going to be a big fun for all of us. All
right, we'll see. Email us at The Bull Show. Sorry, that's our Twitter handle.
No.
TheBullShow@gmail.com.
I guess you could hit us on Twitter, too, and say, hey, I want to be in the fantasy basketball league. We'll take that, too. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that later. We're going to get to the interview with Nick Friedel. We will be back in seconds.
Bull Show.
All right, we are psyched to welcome to the Bull Show Nick Friedel. If you haven't heard of this guy, he is one of the most plugged Chicago Bulls insiders on the planet. He's a beat reporter for ESPN Chicago.
ESPN, you might have heard of it.
ESPNChicago.com. Also, ESPN 1000, the local ESPN affiliate. He's worked for Yahoo, NBA. He's written stuff for NBA.com, MLB.com, all over the web, all over the radio. And he's a much follow on Twitter. The handle is ESPN Shy Bulls. Nick, what is up, homie?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing great, man.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, Nick, for all the folks that don't know who you are and don't know, what a real insider is, tell me about your role over there at ESPN.
I cover the Bulls day in and day out, and I love every second of it. Even on these trips to Champaign, like I'm headed to on Friday, that should be very interesting. Nice. Everybody keeps telling me there's lots of different places to go down there, as you guys know, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're both Champaign graduates.
U of I alums.
U of I alum. I. You will have a good time there.
That's what I hear.
In case you want to go on a bar crawl tomorrow night, myself, that's Nils, will be down there. So I can show you a few quote-unquote hot spots.
Yeah, you got it. As soon as I finish up at the Assembly Hall, I hear there's a few places I have to check out. Yeah, so this should be good.
A couple places on Green Street, a couple places on Daniel. You'll have a good time.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. But no, I mean, I work for the website.
Okay.
And I write stories day-to-day on the team for the website, ESPNChicago.com. And then I report on the team for the radio station, ESPN 1000. And sometimes I get to host some shows. I get to go on with Waddle and Sylvie and the three best friends, Carmen, Yurko, and Harry. But it's an all-consuming job about the Bulls. And I've always loved basketball, so it's really something I dreamed about, and I really enjoy doing it day to day.
Now, before you even got the gig at ESPN, did you mentioned that you loved basketball. Were you a Bulls fan growing up?
I lived in Highland Park for a couple of years. I followed Jordan like every other kid in the world. But when I moved to Orlando, actually the first year I moved to Orlando was when the Magic started.
Oh,
so
man.
I grew up as a Magic fan. And I know that's going to surprise some Bulls fans that are listening to the podcast, because everybody thinks that I'm some huge Miami Heat fan. I grew up as a huge Magic fan. My favorite player of all time is a Chicago guy, actually, Nick Anderson. And I grew up going to Magic games. So it's really been pretty cool coming full circle and being able to follow the Bulls like I have the last few years.
So you must have loved when Nick Anderson stole the ball from Jordan.
Oh, it was awesome. I was at that game. I had my Horace Grant goggles on.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. So Nick Anderson, also an Illinois guy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Flying in Illini.
He was with Bardo, Marcus Liberty, all those guys.
Flying in Illini, man. It was awesome. Will, we know you've been around for, what, about 4 or 5 years with the Bulls, following the Bulls?
This would be the fourth year I've covered the team. In the beginning, it wasn't really full time, so this is my third year really full time on the beat. And it people don't understand the grind day to day of travel and talking to these guys. And even on the worst days, I still have to scratch myself and think, you know, I get paid to watch basketball.
That's
which
awesome.
Is awesome.
So.
But it is absolutely a grind, and I have a lot of respect, not just for the people who cover the team, but the players themselves, because you get on these the back-to-backs, and in that lockout year last year, there were back-to-back-to-backs, and then there were 4 games in 5 nights, and I know you guys have heard the Tibbs cliches all the time, but it is absolutely the truth. It is a grind of a year, an NBA season.
So you came in during the twilight or the waning years of the Skiles era.
Well, actually, my first year was Vinny's last.
Oh, okay. And so with that being said, who's been your favorite Bull, whether it be a player or a coach that you've covered so far?
Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
He is.
You guys BFF?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I think we have a good working relationship, Joe and I. But he is a really solid guy. I know, growing up in Orlando like I did, he was beloved in Florida, but hated everywhere else.
Right.
And I feel like that's still probably the case in the NBA, but you talk to people around the league, you talk to players, and they love him because he is who he is on the floor, off the floor. He plays as hard as he can. He speaks his mind, and that's just who he is. But definitely, I think Joe's one of my favorite guys to cover, and obviously Derek. I mean, that's a slam dunk. Derek Rose is what everybody thinks he is, which is a superstar, but he's genuinely a good guy. And that's what I've enjoyed getting to know him these last few years, because he always kind of goes out of his way to say, how you doing? Are things okay? And he's really somebody special to be around and to watch him play as a basketball fan. Doesn't get any better than that night to night.
Well, I know that that you may not be able to tell us, but you probably don't listen to the show a whole lot, but if you have, you know that I'm a big fan of Ben Gordon. But I just want you to confirm that Ben Gordon is the greatest Bull shooter alive. Can you confirm or deny? is that true or not true?
Do not feed his ego, Nick. You don't have. You're not obligated to to agree with him.
As a Syracuse guy, I really didn't like Ben Gordon because he would knock down all those shots for UConn, but I don't know if he's the greatest bull shooter of all time, but he had to be up there on the nights that he was on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're just starting a training camp. We just got through the first exhibition game. You've had a lot of time to talk to the players this season, talk to the organization. What is the mood around the organization right now? You know, obviously a little bit of a tougher offseason with the injuries and the first round loss.
The overhaul of the bench mob.
What's the mood around the Birdo Center?
I think everybody's still trying to figure it out, really, guys, because for so long, for the last 3-4 years, it was Derek will lead us or find a way to lead us, and then everybody else will kind of fall into their roles, especially the last 2 years because he wins the MVP 2 years ago. He has the injuries last year, but everyone thought, okay, he'll bounce back at some point, and obviously he has the knee injury. It was really tough for the players, and as you guys said, the bench mob and half the team is new. But it's really tough for those guys like Dang and Boozer and Taj Gibson and Joe to go through into a new year and realize Derek's not coming back. And I think there's still an adjustment period that they're going through right now. Now, having said that, they've got Tom Thibodeau, and I've been a very big fan of watching Tibbs' teams in the last few years. And Tibbs' message to these guys, basically, Derek's not coming back for a while, and nobody knows when that's going to be. And anybody who says they know when Derek's going to be back is lying, because he's having the same ups and downs in rehab that everybody would go through with that kind of injury. So Tom's message is, we love Derek. We hope he comes back as soon as he can, but we don't know when he's going to come back. And you guys can't look at the sidelines and be like, what's going to happen? We need Derek to come back and give us 25 points a night. So there's still a big adjustment period going on. And we haven't even talked about the Bellinellis of the world and Nate Robinson and how they fit into the new group. So if I could sum it up, I would just say that the Bulls realize that they're especially in the first couple months, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody. And I think the core players that have been here are going through that day to day still.
So it sounds like there's a lot of ambiguity at this point.
Yeah. Nobody knows for sure how this team is going to be. And you watch that first preseason game against Memphis, and the starters look great. Mm-hmm. And I do think that Kirk Heinrich, if he stays healthy, will be a solid addition. And I know a lot of people out there were kind of like, Heinrich's coming back. Is this really a good move for the Bulls? But if he stays healthy, I think it is. You can tell the comfort level he has on the floor with guys like Dang and Noah. You know he's happy to be back. And I think that his play will improve, not significantly, but a lot better than he was in Washington or Atlanta the last couple of years. So, yeah, they're not sure, but they know that that first group will be fine as long as everyone stays healthy. And, again, that's saying that Rip Hamilton can come back and Boozer can repeat the year he had as far as staying on the floor and Noah's ankle is healthy. And you know, we haven't even mentioned Dang's wrist, which I think is a huge storyline throughout the year. So you've got all these things, and then you have Taj Gibson and a bunch of guys that are brand new. So there's no question there's a lot of uncertainty right now as far as the roster goes.
Well, you know, you brought up Kirk Heinrich. And one of the interesting stories, I believe, of the offseason was kind of the news, and I've heard you talk a little bit about it, that Derrick Rose. He broke character and recruited him. Is that something that you've heard of him doing before? Is Kirk the first guy he's done that with? Was he active in the offseason? What's the story with that?
It is, and it's the first time I've really even heard Derrick go out of his way to say, I recruited somebody, because I've talked to him about it on and off the record the last couple of years, and he said, that's not me. That's not something I would do. And this goes back to LeBron and Wade and Bosh and Dwight Howard. When Howard was kind of on the block there in Orlando. So for him to start doing that now is a great thing as far as I'm concerned for the Bulls, because I actually talked to Dwayne Wade about this a couple months ago, and he was like, Derek's 23, and obviously now he's 24, but said that at that age, you think you can win it by yourself. You think you can be the guy who pushes the rest of the team over the edge.
So
what Derek will learn over time is you can't do that. You need help. And I think it, at least in some small way with Heinrich, and is Heinrich a guy who pulls over the top? No, absolutely not. But he can help bridge the gap between now and the time Derek gets back. And Derek really enjoys playing with him. So it's a good first step as far as the organization is concerned.
All right. So, Nick, you know, you mentioned this already a little bit, and you've been asked this multiple times, so, you know, you don't have to humor us with a prediction. But in your opinion, is there a difference between when you think Rose will come back versus when he should come back?
That's a really good question. I think that if the Bulls don't feel, and this goes from Jerry Reinsdorf on down, but he's going to be the one to make that call. If they don't feel he is 100% healthy, they shouldn't bring him back this year. Because flatly, guys, I don't think that the Bulls can win a title this year. No matter what they do, I don't believe that this team, as it's constructed, and they made it pretty clear with hard capping themselves that they're not going to add too many pieces this year. With this team, with the way it's constructed, and with the uncertainty surrounding Derek, I don't think they can win. So the answer to the question is, if Derrick Rose isn't 100% when he steps back out on the floor, he shouldn't come back this year, because it's not worth the risk to the long-term future of the organization as a whole, because Derrick is the one that everything else revolves around. If Derrick isn't healthy and playing like the Derrick Rose of old, the Bulls are in trouble, not just this year, but for a long time.
Well, let's assume that Derrick Rose comes back next year 100%. It sounds like you think that that's not enough. What steps do the Bulls need to take? Is it another number two guy who's a big name? Is it improving the bench? How far are the Bulls away?
I don't think they are that far away, but it's a question I get almost on a daily basis, guys. In really, the answer is that there isn't a clear-cut answer, because in my opinion, the day that LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade signed with the Heat was not the end for the Bulls, but it was a huge blow to the organization. And that's clear, because you have that much star power, and specifically with LeBron, when you have a guy that is that good and can be that dominant at times, that's hard for any team to overcome, especially a team that just has one star. So if I were Gar Forman, if I were Pax, if I were Reinsdorf, I think the Bulls are at least 2 years away from winning a title. And that's really the issue. And what do you do to get that next piece? I absolutely think they need a second piece to answer that question. There's no question. But what do you do to get that? I'm still not sure, because Deng's contract's going to come off the books. And let's say, hypothetically, that they do sign Taj Gibson to an extension. And I actually do think that'll get worked out before that Halloween deadline. So you sign Taj for between $8 and $10 million. You let Deng either go, or you re-sign him for a smaller price, and you amnesty Carlos Boozer. You've got to figure out, not just do you have enough room to add another maximum salary guy, you got to figure out who that is. And the truth is, and I know a lot of Bulls fans don't want to hear it, but in my opinion, as long as LeBron, Wade, and Bosh stay healthy, I don't think the Bulls can find another guy right now who can come in and push them over the top. But that's the problem. You can't see the future, and you don't know how injuries are going to go, and you can't read between the lines 2 years from now. But with what they have and the space that's potentially available, all things being equal, even in 2 years, I think Miami's probably still on top, as long as, again, Wade, Bosh, and LeBron stay healthy.
Is that the case for the rest of the NBA?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only team, and again, I can only speak for myself, but I think the only team that can give them a real push, the Thunder tried, and I think the Thunder can improve, but as we all know, the Thunder have a lot of salary cap issues coming their way. The only team right now that I think can give the Heat a real push is the Lakers. And we don't know how that's all going to work out with Howard and his injuries, and Kobe Bryant stay healthy, and Steve Nash is 38, 39 years old, and can he stay healthy for a whole year? Gasol, can he play up to that level? But they have pieces that a lot of teams in the league would love to have. I mean, we're talking about Antoine Jameson signing for the minimum. That wouldn't happen maybe anywhere else in the league aside from Miami. So, yeah, again, we don't know what's going to happen down the line, but Miami has so much talent led by LeBron that it's hard to imagine a scenario for any team, aside from maybe the Lakers because of all the guys they have, where all of a sudden Miami falls off to a point where somebody jumps ahead of them, especially in the Eastern Conference.
Well, one name that's kind of been floating around in recent days, maybe this past week, that has really impressed scouts, writers, the internet, even opposing players, would be one Nikolai Mirotic. And I know that there's it's still at least a couple of years before he comes over from Real Madrid to join the Bulls. But with that being said, is he really at this point, in your opinion, the only, I guess, asset in the pipeline that can get the Bulls over the hump and actually compete with Miami?
Well, I wouldn't even say he can get the Bulls over the hump. I think that he's a solid piece. I actually was talking before that Memphis game to Zach Randolph about this.
Mm-hmm.
And Randolph was saying that he really liked the way Mirotic played. He thinks that if he bulks up a little bit, he can shoot and he'll become a better player in the next couple of years before he comes over. And again, we're not sure if he will come over for sure, even in 2 years or 3 years or whatever the case may be. Well, then you walk out of that Grizzlies locker room and you talk to Lionel Hollins, the head coach of Memphis. And he mentioned something very interesting to me. He said that when Mirotic was on guys, he could have his way sometimes and he could have a nice shot and maybe be a guy who can produce in the league. He said that when they put Rudy Gay on Mirotic, he was a non-factor.
Lionel Hollins sounds like a hater. All I know is that I'm drinking the Serbian Kool-Aid. What up?
Yeah, well, you aren't alone. You aren't alone in that. I mean, there are a lot of Mirotic fans who really haven't seen him play that much.
Right.
So I guess Hollins' point is a good one, though, in this regard. You don't know how a guy is going to perform until he gets over here. So we can watch all the Real Madrid highlights we want, and Gar can talk him up all he wants. Right. Until he's in a Bulls uniform and until he's playing an NBA schedule, to sit there and think that he's going to be some guy who's going to come over and drop 20 a night is a huge stretch given the difficulty that a lot of guys have. And it's not just European guys. It's guys from colleges here in the States have in that adjustment between their whatever league they were in and the NBA league itself.
Yeah, I guess at this point, you know, as a Bulls fan, it's really the only thing that we see forthcoming. And we have to believe in something. So I think that's the only thing we're holding on to hope.
What you said a lot of guys have not had an opportunity to see him play. What is the NBA comparison for guys that aren't really familiar with his game?
Randolph talked about that too. And his answer was this, and I've only seen him play a few times, like everybody else on TV, YouTube, that kind of stuff, talking to scouts. Randolph said that it's probably Nowitzki, and that's an easy connection for guys because he was really the big German star that made it. But it's not just Nowitzki. He said that he reminds him a little bit of Gallinari in Denver. So there's a little bit of his game where he can shoot. You're not sure yet how great of a defender he can be, but as Tibbs would say, he's long, he's athletic. So he's got a chance to do a lot of different things in the league if he got in here and he bulked up a little bit. But I'd probably lean towards Nowitzki just because he's a really tall guy. He can shoot it from the outside, and maybe over time he can bulk up and be a solid defender in the league.
So 2015, 2016 NBA champion Chicago Bulls. That's what you're saying. healthy Derrick Rose and the second coming of Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, there you go. And a free agent that we haven't named yet.
All right. So bring it back to Bulls on the current roster. You know, now that you obviously had a bunch of exposure to the guys in camp, So far, who has surprised you for better or for worse? Who has exceeded expectations, come below expectations? What's been your take on camp so far?
Well, all I can tell you is the guy I think they're counting on the most on that bench, at least to score and be a difference maker aside from Taj, because we know what Taj gives you night to night. He's one of my favorite players. I really like the way he plays. He's consistent. But that guy off the bench is probably Bellinelli. And Bellinelli has bounced around the league. We know that he can shoot. When he gets hot, he'll be okay. The question is, and he's admitted as much to the media in the past few months, can he play defense night to night to the level that Tom wants him to?
Stacey King, Stacey King's already called him the poor man's Manu Ginobili, so I'm already sold.
Hey, Stace is an optimist as far as that's concerned. I think that is a stretch because Ginobili is a really, really great player. I from what I've seen from Bellinelli, I don't think he is even in that category. But if he gets in a winning program, and he's been on a lot of bad teams in his career, he's got a chance to really help this Bulls team out. So he's the guy who they're kind of leaning on. Nate Robinson can be a spark plug off the bench. Tom really likes him because he knows he can play, or at least give you a boost offensively. Can he be a defensive difference maker every night? I'm not sure. I mean, I'm 6'1". Nate comes up to a little below my neck. So I'm still shocked at just how small he is. I know he won the dunk contest. I know he's been around the league for a long time, so he's found a way. It's just that when you have a bigger guard posting him up, I don't know how much of a difference he can make. So Nate, that's another guy. But there are a few different guys on this team that they're hoping can fill the roles of Korver, Brewer, Watson, and I think the last guy I'd mention is just Jimmy Butler.
Speaking of Marco Bellinelli, you were talking, and speaking of Kyle Korver, Kyle Korver came into the Bulls system as a guy who wasn't known for his defense. How do you think Tom Thibodeau is going to be able to impact these guys in terms of improving defense? Will he be able to coach these guys up to a level that's kind of the Bulls standard of play?
I think so. I'm a big believer in Tom and in his system. And the answer to your question is, if they don't reach that level that he wants them to, they won't play. And I think he's made that really clear in training camp, and I'm sure he made that really clear in working out with these guys during the summer. So, yeah, they know that if they don't bring it defensively, they're not going to be on the floor. So as far as that's concerned, Tom realizes that that's going to be the key to success for this team over the long haul, with or without Derek, especially this year, though. So if they don't play solid defense, they're not going to see a lot of action in the game.
And speaking of guys who are seeing more action in the game, Jimmy Butler is a guy who didn't have a big role with the Bulls last year, but with the loss of Ronnie Brewer, seems going to be projected to play a little bit more with some more minutes. What do you think about him? How is he looking so far? And what do you think his role is going to be next year?
I think Jimmy fills the role of Ronnie Brewer. I think they knew if Jimmy produced in practice last year that Ronnie became expendable. And I'm not saying that if I were the Bulls, I wouldn't have brought Brewer back or Korver back or Watson back. I would have tried to bring all those guys back. Just how deep do they want to go in the luxury tax? And they didn't want to go that deep for a team that they weren't sure was going to win the title this year. But as far as Jimmy goes, this is a make or break year for Jimmy Butler. And I think he realizes it because he has a chance to be one of those first guys off the bench who can give Tom 15, 20 minutes a game. The key for Jimmy isn't going to be defense because we know he can play solid defense. He did against Carmelo a few times even last year. The key for Jimmy is going to be, when you have that open 16 to 18 footer, can you knock it down consistently? And he's worked on it in the summer. He's been living in the Birdo Center. I just don't know if he can take that leap this year, especially right away. Maybe over time, working with Tibbs, working with Ron Adams, the assistant coach, maybe he can do it. But that will be a major litmus test for this Bulls team this year. Can Jimmy take the next step in his progression? but that's where it's going to come for him on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I definitely think he has a lot more upside, especially offensively compared to Ronnie Brewer. But you know what I found interesting, especially from that first preseason game, Jimmy's been highly touted as a guy that can draw fouls and get to the free throw line. And it was almost like, I don't want to, you know, overstate the first preseason game, but he did struggle from the field. He wasn't able to draw as much fouls as he's used to. It's almost like the refs had read all offseason how he draws fouls. So if he's not getting those calls, it'll be interesting to see how effective he can be.
Well, and Tom Thibodeau actually mentioned that Thursday, guys. His point was, I don't judge Jimmy Butler on how many shots he makes in the game. I judge him on rebounds and blocks, and is he getting to the line? Is he being aggressive? And his point on Jimmy, at least in that Memphis game, that first preseason game, was that Jimmy was settling too much for jumpers. He wasn't attacking the way Tom wants him to. So in order for Jimmy to get to the level that Tom wants him to be at this year, that's going to be a huge part of where he has to go as far as being a real rotation player this season for Tom Thibodeau.
Well, two guys who are probably not as well known to Bulls fans that got camp roster invites are Marco Yark and Kirill. I can't even say his full name, but Fasenko. Kirillo, is that how you say it? I'm butchering names.
So.
Mitch is usually the one butchering names. But so they would be the 13th or 14th man on the team, but the Bulls can't really sign one of them because of cap restrictions, at least until November. I think that's the case.
Right. And as far as both of those guys go, I don't think either one is going to make a major difference either way.
So do you know if either one, in your opinion, is going to make the team?
If they were leaning towards keeping guys on the active roster right now, today, mm-hmm. and we're talking on Thursday, I would say Fasenko has a better shot between those two guys because he's a bigger body. And the Bulls don't have a lot of those guys, as we know, with Omer leaving for Houston and Nazi Muhammad coming in. So as far as the active roster goes, right now, Fasenko probably has a leg up on everybody. But they want to see what Yaric can give them and if he has anything left. Because, guys, he's been out of the league for a few years now. He hasn't been in the NBA. So there's a chance that he may not make it, but if he can show Tom in practice that he can still knock down shots and run an offense, maybe he becomes a better option in the short term than a guy like Marcus Teague.
So at this point, you're saying we're going with the 7-foot goofy Justin Bieber haircut dude over Mr. Andreata Lima.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's be real clear. Fasenko is one of the goofiest guys I've seen in an NBA locker room in my whole life. He is out there, and I think his teammates like him. He is just a different cat. Fasenko the other night after that Memphis game walked into the back where the showers were, grabbed a brush, and walked back out and took the brush. And so the media is asking questions to Heinrich, and Fasenko is putting the brush in Heinrich's right near Heinrich's mouth like a microphone and then bringing it back out when – somebody else would ask a question and putting it back in his face. So, you know, 10 minutes later, he's walking through the United Center exits with sunglasses on. It's 10:30 at night. And even Carlos Boozer looks at him like, hey, Fezzy, what's with that look, man? So, I mean, this guy is out there. And anybody who's seen his Twitter avatars can attest to that.
So while we might not be the most talented team, we'll at least keep things entertaining off the court.
That's right. That's right. There's no Scalabrine this year, which is just too bad because he was the ultimate goofball. But they've got Fasenko. Nate Robinson is pretty hilarious when you get him going. And if Yarick sticks and we start seeing Adriana Lima around here in the next few months, I mean, come on. There's a lot to be happy about as far as stargazing goes and entertainment goes in that locker room.
What we lack in talent, we make up in personality.
There you go. There you go.
Well, speaking of talent, what's the status of Luol Deng's wrist? What's going on with that?
Oof. That, and we talked about it earlier, but in my opinion, that's going to be one of the the big storylines for the season. Dang was actually making fun of reporters, myself included, who were saying today, he was saying, well, you guys are just waiting for me to fall on this thing. You know, you're just waiting for it to happen, because Dang pushed off the surgery. And there were people within the organization right after it happened, and this goes back to January, who said, we want you to get this done. There were people right after they got bounced in the first round by Philadelphia that said, we want you to get this done. There were people that after the Olympics were like, you know, just get this done and get it over with and be ready for the year if and when Derek comes back in the middle of the season. Dang didn't want to do it. And he is a very proud guy. He knows he made the All-Star team last year. I think he was hurt, guys, by the fact that a few years ago, as I'm sure you all remember, there was that active arrest debate, really, with his leg and the injury, and should he be playing, should he not be playing? And I think Luol took that to heart, and he didn't want the same kind of circumstances to keep coming up, and he knows he won back the trust of the fan base, and he I don't think he's necessarily playing just for the fans. He's playing for pride, because a lot of people wanted him to just sit down and have the surgery, and he feels like he can really help out the Bulls, and he knows he has a huge role on the team this year. Now, having said all that, I watched Luol play all year last year. I watched him hold that wrist time and time again. I watched him talk about, after that game six in Philadelphia, how the wrist was killing him all year and how he gutted through the pain. But right now, he doesn't want to have the surgery. And as he said, as Tom and Gar have said, there are guys that have that injury. The muscle heals. It gets back to a certain level. They don't have to have the surgery their whole career. So that, as a Bulls fan, is what you should be holding on to, because that can keep him healthy throughout the year. And then maybe he decides in the summer to have it. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't have to have it at all. It's just that I watched Luol struggle so much that it's very hard for me to believe he's going to go through an 82-game season without having that wrist poked at, or without falling on it, and without going through and getting it hit again to a point where he's got a lot of pain that he has to deal with night to night.
So, you know, with that taken into consideration, let's get your early season prediction for this upcoming season. How do you see the Bulls' season ending in 2012-2013?
Well, I've gone out on a limb, and Jeff Van Gundy actually said that I've fallen on my head believing this. But I really believe this team can win 50 games this year. And that seems like a high number for a lot of people, given that we don't know what's going to happen with Derek. We don't know what's going to happen with Dang and that wrist, as we just went over. And then you have guys like Rip and Carlos Boozer, who – in Carlos's case, aside from last year, has gotten hurt the last few years. So can they stay healthy? If those guys stay healthy and Derrick Rose comes back in March, let's say, I think the Bulls can win 50. Now, I don't think that changes the end game for them this year. I think they get bounced in the second round, and that's the end of their season. I just don't foresee any way this year they can really contend for a title.
So as you alluded to earlier, basically us Bulls fans are going to be facing NBA Armageddon in June of 2013, debating between Kobe's sixth title and LeBron's second. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, if and
so, again, who do we root for?
That depends on. Are you talking about in the future, or if they opt out, or this summer? If they're playing in the finals.
I'm just saying that this summer, I mean, it looks like the stars are aligned for, you know, the Bulls fans' worst nightmare, where either we have to watch the finals and cheer against LeBron winning his second straight title, or cheer against Kobe matching Jordan, or just turn off the TV. It looks like we won't have much of a choice.
I think a lot of Bulls fans will turn off the TV, frankly. But yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. I think it's going to be the Lakers and the Heat, if all things are equal and everybody stays healthy. That's where we're going. And in my opinion, I think the Heat are the team to beat again, and I would be surprised, frankly, if they didn't repeat this season.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up with one last final question for you. You know, where we kind of were able to first connect was over at the Philly airport last May. We ran into you on our way home from a very depressing weekend where the Bulls had lost games 3 and 4 of the first round playoff series against the Sixers. And Mitch and I, you know, we like to travel with the team every now and then when we can. What NBA arena should we visit next?
The best atmosphere that I've seen is in Oakland. It's the Warriors. It is crazy in there during most games, and if they're any good, it's even crazier than usual. And then you have San Francisco 15, 20 minutes away over the bridge. So if I had to pick one arena to recommend for you guys and everybody else listening to us, it would be Oracle out there in Oakland.
That's awesome. And we were just talking about heading out to Oakland, see Steph Curry and those guys ball it up, man. It should be should be pretty exciting if we decide to make a trip.
Maybe we'll see you there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come out for the Bulls game. I promise you'll find me out there somewhere.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll be able to reach out during the season. You give us a scoop, the update, the inside look at what's going on all things Bulls.
You got it, guys. Anytime you want it. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Nick.
Appreciate your time. Have a safe trip to Champaign tomorrow.
You got it. I'll see you at one of those places like Cam's or something.
We'll see you at Cam's. First round's on me.
All right, you got it.
All right, guys. Everybody stick around. We got a couple of notes, and we'll close out the Bulls show.
That was pretty informative. Thanks again to Nick Verdale, ESPN Chicago beat reporter. Man, definitely knows his stuff. Definitely in on the inside, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cool when you are able to interact, get some insight on the Bulls from a direct source. You know, he's day in and day out, like you said, covering the Bulls, and it was great to have him on.
I mean, talking with D. Wade. I mean, that's crazy, man. Every day just talking to NBA stars. It's really awesome to get him on the show. So what was most surprising? Did anything shock you, amaze you, surprise you, anything that you weren't expecting to hear?
I don't know if surprising is the word, but I guess I'd categorize it more as disappointing at how he gave us a bit of a reality check with how much separation there is between Miami and the rest of the league. I mean, we're watching a replay of the preseason game right now, and they already look dominant.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, that's definitely a thought that's out there. There's nothing stopping Miami Heat. But you never know. You never know what happens to the rosters.
That's why they play the games.
That's why they play the games. We win, we play. I was going to say we win to play the games. I think it's we play to win the games. Yeah. Or you play to win the games?
Herm Edwards.
Get
your Herm Edwards right.
Shout out to Herm Edwards.
All right. Well, we should plug what we plugged at the beginning of the show.
Yes. The contest.
Yes.
The tickets that you're giving away, not to me. Let's talk about that. Awesome.
So
I'm dropping the mic.
Hopefully, at this point, you're still listening in. As I plugged on Twitter, on ShyCitySports.com, exclusive breaking news. To win these tickets, essentially all you gotta do is follow us on Twitter at The Bulls Show. On Sunday, I'll be tweeting out a trivia question, of course, Bulls related, and the first person to get the answer right will win the tickets. Now, some exclusive information you're only gonna hear on this podcast is that the tweet will go out at 7 p.m. Central Time on Sunday night, October 14th. And on top of that, let's just say that if you want to increase your chances of winning these tickets, you should brush up on your Bulls Hall of Famers.
All right, that sounds good. Now, will I be able to be in this contest?
Unfortunately, you are disqualified.
Why?
We have to maintain some level of credibility, integrity, independence. So, no, you cannot win these tickets.
Can I get any tickets to any Bulls games?
If you can put your check up, if you can cut me a couple of bills, we'll talk.
No, you're talking about a couple bills. These are great seats, right? These are primo seats.
Section 116, aisle seats, row 17, and I didn't want to put this on the advertisement, but they are actually in front of the D. Rose family suite. Now, I can't confirm that D. Rose or his mom, Brenda, will be there. But if you turn around, check out for the Rose family. They're usually sitting behind us. But again, you know, I'm not saying that they will be there. I don't want any false advertising.
So will we get sued if one of our crazy listeners tries to jump into the suite to get D. Rose's autograph?
I probably should put a disclaimer that we hold no responsibility for any of our listeners, followers, whoever wins the tickets. We're not responsible for their actions.
Okay, yeah. I don't have to get my lawyer shoes on, right?
No, not yet at least.
All right. Well, we will be giving away the tickets. That's very, very kind of Nils.
Sunday, October 14th, 7 p.m.
Yes. Speaking of dates in October, on October 29th at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are going to be doing our Mitch and Nils Fantasy Basketball League. We're going to be doing the draft on the 29th. We are looking for 10 listeners to join me and Nils. Maybe not, because we're going to get Eugene in, the guy who loves Avery Bradley, our buddy.
Oh, you mean the homeless man's version of Ronnie Brewer?
Yes, the homeless man's version. Don't hate on E. He's right here. Don't hate on the man.
We're recording in front of a live studio audience, a studio audience of one.
So join me, Mitch, Nils.
If I decide to participate.
No, you're going to be in the fantasy league.
Let me ask you two questions about this league.
Oh, my God.
One, is this going to be a complete bust? Like, are we actually going to get 10 people to sign up?
Yes, we're going to get 10 people because people love us.
And two,
yes.
What does the winner win?
The winner wins playoff tickets to the Bulls. Yes! Yes, guys! We are announcing today.
No!
Bills!
No!
Round one! Game one!
No, we.
Bulls playoff tickets for the winner. Nils is going to give up the tickets, right?
I hope that you have the funds to pay me for these tickets that you're promising.
He's so kind. Nils is so kind. I can't believe you're going to do that for them. For us. Because I'm going to win. So.
Well, hopefully the Bulls don't make the playoffs.
All right. Well, tweet us or hit us up on email. Sorry, I'm dying. Tweet us. Or hit us up. You know, I have a really bad cold. It's really bad.
Hey, did you see that we have now 100 likes on Facebook?
Yes.
So, in summary, we've recorded a triple-double on Facebook, or on social media. 100 likes on Facebook, triple-digit followers on Twitter, triple-double, baby.
All right. That's kind of a double-double, because you only said two things.
Triple-digit followers on Twitter, triple-digit likes on Facebook, that's three numbers.
No,
get your math right.
That's not a triple-double. That's just like
triple-digit
times
two.
Eugene, you're good at math. Is that a triple-double?
I'm so confused right now.
All right, well, I think we're done here. We need to get the heck out of here. Thanks to Nils for giving away the tickets. Only the preseason game. I mean, I don't know why you want to be stingy, but okay, that's fine.
Let's worry about the Bulls actually making the playoffs first, and then we'll revisit this topic at a later date.
All right, we'll revisit it. For Nils, I'm Mitch. We'll talk to you guys next week on The Bull Show.
Peace.